with school letting out early for the first time in years, I am super excited that you're here. With all the texts and the emails we got about everybody saying, oh, we just decided we're checking out for the weekend. I am super excited you're here. Because, you know, the last few years, they're still in school. First week of June, graduations, nobody goes on vacation until the third Sunday. So this year, it started early. But I'm super excited. Did I say that I was super excited that you're here today? Most of them told us that they would see us online. So for all of you who are gloriously on vacation, wondering why you did that with the way the kids are acting, welcome online this morning. Rich, Emily, the Lord has been speaking to me about both of you for about 3 weeks. And during worship, he just pulled that down real tight, real fast. And he said to me, Psalms 119:2 is what I want to speak to them. And in Psalms 119:2, it talks about, joyful is the person who obeys the laws or obeys God and who is searching Him and searching for Him. And the Lord said, you've been faithful even in times of uncertainty. You've sought Him. You've been chasing after Him. You've been trying to locate exactly where are you, Father, and where does that put us? And you've been faithful to continue to obey Him. You've been faithful to search after Him. And the Lord said, your searching will be rewarded. It's only the beginning of things that God is doing for you and with you and through you. And it will not just be through you and for you. It'll be throughout your whole family. God is pulling some things together. He's tightening some strings. And He's going to put it in a really nice bow because He's going to say, this is something that I am pleased with. And the Lord said that you're walking into the fullness of that. Since I'm super excited that you're here, then you're going to get super excited about this message. Because we're going to define what preaching really is and who is supposed to be doing all the preaching this morning. Apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have a sermon. All I have is a flow of words that might be considered a lecture. How many of you sat through a lecture and it was empty? But how many of you have sat through what others might consider was going to be a lecture and you walked out inspired and changed and under conviction because something else took place? I learned a long, long time ago that without the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have a sermon. It takes the power and leading of the Holy Spirit to truly have a sermon from the Father. We have to remind ourselves that it was by the power and leading of the Holy Spirit that this book was penned. The Spirit of God moving on humans to write this book. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to make a declaration today. I'm not even going to call it a faith declaration. I'm going to declare that this will become the truth here. And it begins today. And for all those who are watching online, that you, along with myself, are going to be led of God, led of the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't even start, I'm not called. Yes, you are. I'm going to prove it in just a moment. Don't start that. You are called. You are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe God is about to unleash the gospel through you to this world in the freshest, way to those who are in need of hope. In a fresh new way, God is going to move through you to bring the gospel of peace to others this year. Through you. Through preaching is how God's going to do it. And He's going to do it through you. And today I'm going to clearly define what preaching is and what it's not. So I say to you today, get ready. If you're here today, God is telling you, you get ready. I don't care how disconnected you feel, you're about to get reconnected. And you're going to preach the gospel, and you're going to fulfill your destiny. Now, with all of that said, you might be surprised today to learn this truth. One of the primary tasks of the church, who's the church? You and I. One of the primary tasks of the church is to preach the good news gospel. Primary task of the church is to preach the good news gospel. That's one of our primary tasks. Well, you don't know my personality. Let me tell you something. Through the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, He uses personality to reach people. He uses your unique personality. Love what Billy Sunday said. The backslider likes the preaching that wouldn't hit the side of a barn or a house. I like barn better than house. Backslider doesn't want to hear truth. While the real disciple is delighted when the truth brings him to his knees. Let me prepare you. What I'm about to share may bring you to your knees today. Because I'm going to uncover and unpack truth of what our responsibilities are. Now for our guests, and I see a few, that I'm about to share several pen truths today. And those are lessons I've learned, revelations that God has given me through the years that I want to release to you today. First pen truth, preaching must be valued by the Christian community as families value food. Well, I don't value food that much. Really? Going to fast. I've never fasted. Fast. Find out how important food is to you. We value food. You go on a fast and you're already planning six meals ahead and you hadn't realized it. We need to value preaching the good news gospel like we value food. And I'm going to drill down on that in just a moment. So what is preaching? According to the New Bible and the Bible Themes Dictionaries, it states that it's a proclamation of the good news, gospel, by God's people. Did you notice I didn't say by God's preachers, by God's pastors, by God's associate pastors, by God's youth pastors, by God's worship leaders? Did I say that? No, by God's people. That's all of us. It's the proclamation of the good news gospel. Let me bring this down to a simple definition. The proclamation of the good news gospel is either one person or 1,000 people when the gospel is presented. A proclamation is not to a crowd. The proclamation by God's people is to one or many. And it's a public proclamation no matter where you're at. This would be considered a public proclamation. In your cubicle would be a public proclamation. On the phone. In a Zoom meeting. You haven't figured out I'm done with Zoom. You need to meet with me one-on-one. It's a public proclamation of what? The good news gospel. Whether that's one or too many. pin truth number two today. Correct preaching is the broadcasting of divine truth by way of the good news gospel. Did you catch what I said? Broadcasting of divine truth. Broadcasting of divine truth. In the statement that Billy Sunday was making, he was identifying that it's the truth that makes the difference. The Bible says truth will set you free. Yet the church doesn't want to hear truth. But guess what? I find the world wants to hear the truth uncompromised. It's broadcasting the good news gospel wherever, to whomever, wherever you're at. I've been kind of moved into an environment that I'm prepping myself for some broadcasting. Here's the truth. I broadcast the gospel way more outside this platform than on this platform. We all are called to preach the gospel. And let me define something here, especially for all of you who grew up in church and slept under benches. I did, in a tent with my grandma, crawled under a bench, went to sleep in West Texas. Shouting, being loud, being very demonstrative is not preaching. But yet we've associated that with, oh, there, man, now that was some preaching. I've sat through those and it had no divine truth and it was empty and shallow. It just what? Stirred the emotions. I don't need my emotions stirred. I need my heart changed. Is there shouting? Yes. Is there getting loud? Wait till Rochelle gets up here. We get some of that. Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, leading a person, He leads them through what? Your personality. It's personality and the Holy Spirit working together. I've sat through some of the most powerful sermons when the person barely raised their voice. I kept saying, turn their mic up, because this is so good. This is changing my life. We got to stop associating what preaching is to somebody who has a gift to be loud and shout and be demonstrative. Preaching is broadcasting divine truth by way of the good news gospel. That's preaching. I'm preaching because I'm giving you truth. But it says preaching and teaching. In a moment, I'm going to start teaching. I'm going to teach some stuff. But along the way, I'm going to continue to preach some stuff. Anybody with me so far? We on this? Okay? Preaching. This is very important as we move into the summer. Why is it important? Because we can lose our way by the time we get to September and forget who we are because of the busyness of summer. We're Americans. Summer. Come on. That's when we check out. We can't check out. When you go on vacation, don't check out. Stay prepared. It's not about shouting. Preaching is done through human personality by the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's preaching. It's the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You need to get that in you. It's the empowering of those. Well, He doesn't empower me. Well, open yourself up and He will. No, I think I'll stay closed down. Not after today. Now you're responsible for the truth I'm giving you. You have to start opening yourself up. Because you're called and we're commanded to preach. All of us. Preaching is vital, yes, to the growth of God's people. But preaching is vital to those who are lost without hope. And I can't reach everybody, but we can. Preaching is important. Let me give you five truths about preaching. Number one, preaching, broadcasting divine truth exposes sin. Pause. Well, Pastor, that's why I don't do it, because I don't want them mad at me. Do you want them to stay in that until it destroys them? I don't. We've got to speak divine truth so people can be what? Set free. Number two, preaching. The broadcasting of divine truth produces repentance. See, we never see the repentance because we never speak the truth that exposes the sin so that they will what? Repent. Well, can I just speak it and they just repent immediately and I don't have to go through the other part? I know the first part's messy, but I'm going to tell you what, God's gifted you to deal with messy. Number three, preaching, broadcasting, divine truth births faith. It does. Some of you are sitting out there looking at me like, I don't know about that. I don't have, you got more faith than I do. I don't think I can preach. You will preach, and you will testify to me and others. I preached. Remember, preaching is not doing what I'm doing right now in its wholeness. Preaching is you just presenting the gospel of truth, the simple gospel of truth. If all you know is that Jesus hung on a cross and died for you, you need to be sharing that truth. You are broadcasting what? Divine truth, because it's true. Number four, preaching, broadcasting of divine truth nourishes believers. You're being nourished whether you like it or not. You know, you're having to eat your greens, drink your greens, however you want it, put it in a smoothie, take it down because it'll change your life. Number five, preaching, broadcasting of divine truth sets captives free. And the enemy has tried to keep you captive and not speaking the gospel of truth. And I'm going to address that in a moment, what I believe it is. And then we have to make a decision to hear the truth and respond to the truth, repent based on that truth, and then watch God turn everything around. Very important. John Wesley said, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and such alone will shake the gates of hell. Let me change the wording a little bit here. Give me 100 preachers in North Elevation Church who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and such alone will shake the gates of hell. I believe this church can shake the gates of hell. Yeah. Only a few of you are excited about that. Well, Pastor, I got to get past the thinking I got to preach now, you know. Give me a break. Preaching, broadcasting, divine truth. Now, the Gospels and in Acts shares with us several sermons from Peter, the apostle. Today, we're going to look at one in part because we're going to land on a very powerful truth that the church has got to come into agreement with. And then next week, as we continue deeper into that particular sermon, I'm going to be sharing with you six insights I believe are more relevant today than they were back then, that are important for your life and for your family. I mean, very important for your life and your family. Six insights from his message that I will bring next Sunday. But today I want to talk to you about the door of opportunity. We have Peter and John have made their way to the temple because they want to go to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting. Now, there are people who bring a man to the temple gate, called the Beautiful Gate, who is lame. And there he asks for money. Now, as Peter and John are coming into the temple, this man at the gate asks them for money. Now, let's read Peter's response in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Verse 8. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Pause. Free from the Holy Spirit. He just spoke to me about this. Listen, you know when God does something for you, it wouldn't hurt for you to do some leaping and some shouting. No matter how small it is. Some leaping and some shouting. You know what? You could be going through a really rough time right now, but I'll bet if you'll just take a few moments, really take a few moments, and take a look at the things that are going on around you, you can find something. Do some leaping and some shouting and watch the walls fall down. That was free. Not a part of the message. Here we go. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10. And recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, something happens. I want us to land on the amazement of this healing. God is providing an opportunity. I'm going to say this more than once today. God is providing opportunities for you and I every day. Are we seeing them? And it may not be this particular story. But God is providing opportunity for what, Pastor? For you to preach. To release divine truth. To broadcast. To make a public proclamation of the gospel of peace. The good news gospel. Every day. Well, Pastor, I sit behind a computer on a deal all day long. I'm going to tell you what, he's still providing an opportunity. Are we recognizing it or are we looking for it? That is why I am so strong on you have to have a regular rhythm and routine to your devotional life so that you know his voice so well you don't miss nothing. It's important. So we have this happen. This suddenly takes place in the temple. We're outside the temple. Now they bring it into the temple. Now verse 11. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in a portico called Solomon's. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. It doesn't say that Peter told John, hey, John, hang on. Listen, I see an opportunity here. I need you to gather everybody out, calm them down, find places for them to sit, you know, sing hymns and fun songs and whatever, because I need at least 2 or 3 hours to pull away so I can get my 3 sermon points. Hey, John, I tell you what, let's just keep this guy real close to us and let's tell everybody that to meet us here tomorrow at the same time so that I can go back and pray for 10 hours and so that I can study the Old Testament and find out what God's wanting me to say, and then I'll come back and I'll have 5 sermon points. Is that what happened? No. It says that Peter, he saw it and he addressed the people. We're going to look deeper into that next week. Peter didn't hesitate when the opportunity presented itself. In our minds, our church culture, in our minds, there's appointed times for preaching. Like today. This is an appointed time that we come and worship together and we get fed. Okay, it's an appointed time. But God is setting up appointments all day, every day. For you to preach. As I said a couple of weeks ago when Angela was up here and we were interviewing Angela, that you may never be on this platform, but you have opportunity every day to release the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm called to do what I'm doing. But we're all called to take the gospel, broadcast the gospel, make a public proclamation of divine truth throughout the week. All of us. But in our minds, we think there's these times. We can't be sitting back and going, oh my gosh, God just presented an opportunity in front of me, and I haven't had time to sit down and get my three-point sermon. Listen carefully. Peter quickly takes advantage of the moment and presents the gospel message. Are we taking advantage of the opportunities and preaching the gospel message? Or do we tell ourselves, I don't have time, or this isn't the moment, or this isn't the place? I do it in the most unusual places. When it's most inconvenient for them, mostly. But afterwards, I've never had anybody slap me, hit me, threaten me. I've had a few people walk away wishing they had never met me. But that's okay. Because somebody else is going to continue to plant seed or water it, till it a little more, work it. Do we? Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says. Preach the word of God. Timothy wasn't talking to preachers. I mean, Paul wasn't. He was talking to Timothy, telling Timothy, preach the word of God. He's working in a local church. He's about to be set up as one of the main guy. But preach the word of God. Preach the word of God, Timothy. And when Timothy hears those words, he's got to think about Paul's life. Where did Paul preach the word of God? Mostly in prison. After he had been stoned. After he had been beaten. Before he was beaten. After he was beaten. Preach the word of God. No matter what's going on in your life, preach the word of God, Timothy. Today you may be pastoring that church, tomorrow you may not. During the week, nobody knows what you're doing there because I may send you to another city. They don't know that you're a pastor, but preach the word of God. Wherever you go, preach the word of God. Be prepared. Okay, here's one of the things we miss in Scripture. We say, oh, that's a great word to Timothy. No, that word is speaking to God's church. Preach the gospel. Be prepared, church. I tell our pastors, and I mean it. I think I've said it more than once. They know I mean it. You know, they need to have 4 or 5 sermons ready to go and in the can ready to go, and they need to have one in their back pocket so it just pops right out. And be ready. What? Be prepared. Because I might decide to go on vacation and send all of you an email and a text. And then I have to call them and say, hey, by the way, you got exactly 12 hours. We need to stay prepared. We need to stay prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not. Now, most of you know that Daniel and Rosemary got married last weekend. And we kept little Daniel all week. My flesh tells me this isn't a favorable time to get up in front of everybody. Because I'm tired. And I'm 30 years older than I was when Daniel was little. When it's favorable and when it's not. Let me drill this down. Whether you feel good or you don't feel good. Whether it's an up day or a down day, preach the gospel. We can make excuses all day long. I'm exhausted. preach the gospel. I'm excited, preach the gospel. I haven't eaten all day, preach the gospel. I'm mad at my boss, repent. Preach the gospel. It's real simple. Well, I just don't feel like preaching. Our family's not getting along. Preach the gospel. Probably all of you need it. When it's favorable and when it's not. Is that what Scripture says? When Paul's writing this, ordained by the power of the Holy Spirit to be written, was not just for Timothy, it was for us today. We've got to start accepting the whole gospel, not just parts of it. He's speaking to all of us. I'm just reading the word. That's not my stuff. That's God's stuff. Whether it's favorable or not. Come on. Whether it's favorable or not. Preach the gospel. And be prepared. Matthew 10, verse 18. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. Now, Jesus speaking here. He tells them, you're going to stand trial before governors and kings. Because you follow me. Because we're followers of Christ, I doubt very seriously anybody in this room is going to stand trial in front of Governor Abbott. I doubt any of you are going to have to stand trial in front of the Queen of England. But he tells them, you're going to. Now listen to what he says to them. Because who's he speaking to? All of us. All of us. But this will be your opportunity. What, Jesus? You just told me that I'm going to stand trial. And you're telling me this is an opportunity? How many times did Paul, in chains, preach to prisoners? Because he saw the opportunity. We get put in chains and we shut down. Oh, come on. We shut down when we should be preaching. And if we'd be preaching, probably the chains would bust right off. I just gave you a revelation and a truth that'll set you free. Preach the good news gospel. Broadcast divine truth and watch God liberate your life. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested... Now, you got to understand, when he said that word, that meant something not good to them. One thing to stand trial, but says, oh, you're not just going to come and stand trial. You're going to be arrested, which means they're going to beat you. That's what happened when they got arrested. They were flogged and beaten. Listen to what he's saying. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. What would be our response? You're all going to hell for hurting me. He tells them, do what? Be quiet. Don't worry about how to respond or what to say. Don't start letting yourself get involved. Watch what he says. God will give you the right words at the right time. See, we're all worried about preaching, broadcasting divine truth, because we don't think we have what it takes to do that. I'm telling you that the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit will fill your mouth and stuff will come out you didn't know was there, and it will set people free. Because it's not you, it's Him through you. He tells them, don't worry about it. God will give you the right words at the right time. Verse 20. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I've lost count how many times I walk away from something and I go, whoa, where'd that come from? My mind wouldn't have thought about that, but the Holy Spirit did. You got to quit hiding out and setting back. You got to start stepping up. It's your call. Listen, we prepare for vacations, to all of you that are on vacation. We prepare for vacations, do we not? We prepare for careers, do we not? We prepare for marriages. We prepare for retirement. Well, some of us are hoping someday we might retire. We prepare, 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 prepare. But are we preparing to release publicly, broadcasting divine truth, the gospel of peace? Are we preparing to do that? Do we wake up in the morning saying, I need to get prepared because God may give me opportunity today while I'm trying to work out how I'm going to retire? How are we waking up each day? I believe the reason is this. We've allowed life. Hear what I'm going to say. We've allowed life around us to have rulership over God's gospel. We've allowed life and its issues to have rulership above and beyond the call to preach the gospel. We've allowed life to dictate to us our decisions. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to preach to anybody in our job because none of them listen to me anyway, because I'm right, they're wrong on everything we do in the business and in the company. How about you just be wrong for just 2 minutes so that you have a door of opportunity to preach the gospel? It's called humility. We're allowing life to have rulership over our calling. We're allowing life. And what that actually exposes is, where is our trust? In ourselves or in Him? Where's our trust? 1 Peter 3:15 says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always, 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 I'm going to say it till we get it, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain it. Peter didn't have time to prepare a sermon because Peter stayed prepared. When I'm in situations and the opportunity breaks open for me, I don't go and pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I jump in the middle of it and I just believe that the Holy Spirit will bring up whatever's needed, that all that's down here that I've been putting in will come out and it will begin to do what it's supposed to do. What are you putting in, and are you taking advantage of the opportunity for it to come out? So that convicts us on two levels. Am I putting stuff in? Am I letting it come out? What does the good news gospel do? What does the proclamation of truth do? What does the broadcasting of divine truth do? It will bring what? Conviction of sin and draw us to repentance. God is speaking to His church. And not just this church, but the church. Let me. I had a picture of something when I was in prayer, and I'm just going to say it. You think things are bad right now? If there weren't people in the kingdom of God that understood their calling, as we should all, and weren't preaching when the opportunities presented itself, it'd be way worse right now. Would you like for it to be better? Then it takes all of us. It takes all of us. Always be ready to explain it. I also see that I am now believing very strongly one of the issues and why people are not fulfilling their call in the church is because we have forgotten what it's like to be without hope and lost and separated from God. We have forgotten what it's like. The emptiness, the loneliness, the breadth and depth of the darkness. And those people are all around us all the time. We have forgotten. We must stop the excuses and we must stay prepared. We must stay prepared. Sometimes I ask myself, have I lost the compassion of Paul? Has it become utterly foreign to God's church? Let's read what his passion was. Romans 9, verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Colin asked the question last week, would we really sacrifice our lives, literally die for someone else? This is what Paul's talking about. He's willing to sacrifice himself. Now, I'm going to throw something in that needs to be said. People are more receptive to the broadcasting of divine truth when you're living a life according to the gospel. If you're hard to get along with, not very many people are going to listen to the truth. If you keep yourself in a corner, nobody wants to listen to you because they don't think you have anything anyway. You're always wherever. How do you live your life? What comes out of your mouth? And then you turn around and try to provide the gospel to somebody. You've just caused them to see you in a different light. That, oh, that's what you believe? Why do you live like that? It's very important how we live our lives in front of other people. I've had people tell me all the time, I'm just stealing this from Rochelle, okay? I'm going to blame her. I used to tell Rochelle, I don't have any friends. And she said, well, if you'd be friendly, you wouldn't be so, you know, well, just quit being who you are. Be friendly. You know what? It's through relationships we're going to reach people by the thousands. But you're going to have to be friendly. But you don't understand. I'm trying to get everybody at work to do what I want them to do. Well, why don't you just go home and let somebody else fill your spot so they can reach somebody for Jesus? But that's harsh words. That's what I had a preacher tell me one time. Corey, why don't you just get out of the way so somebody can step in there and do something for Jesus? Woke me up. My final statement. God expects us to preach when it's convenient and when it's not. Preaching is God's method of delivering the gospel. Value the Word of God with supreme value. Don't keep the gospel to yourself. Let others know the Lord loves them. Share your gospel story. Listen, position yourself so they will take you seriously and will listen to you. Position yourself. Position yourself. Let me unpack another truth. There is something going around right now that I disagree with completely because it's taking away the power of the Holy Spirit in your life right where you're at. And I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit can do suddenly is right where you're at. And we don't have to do certain things before God's going to move. That just goes against the gospel. This altar area is a sacred place where a lot of prayer takes place. The couple that was from Africa that were here weeks ago, I was standing over here with him, and he said, he was very quiet the whole time he was with us. He wasn't trying to earn, work anything. He was just here. And he said, "Do you mind if I go over here and stand?" And I said, "Yeah." And he was just walking around over here, and he just began to, tears began to flow down his face. And he said, "God is here. And it's just pouring right here." You know what the altar moment is in a sermon where truth has been broadcasted? God can change you right where you're at. But sometimes the fullness of that change happens when you make a commitment. When you say, "No more excuses. This isn't easy. It's not going to be easy. But I know that I just need to step into a new place in my life." And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up and join me right here in the altar. Now, God can move and settle it with you right where you're at. Now, getting up doesn't mean you're not doing this, okay? This means you're going to just make this a priority in your life. And if that's you, I want you to stand and come to this altar. Because this is your commitment. God can do it right there where you're sitting. But what you're doing is you're saying to myself, "I am fully committed. I need to walk down here because I've got to be fully committed. I'm going to be fully committed to this completely." And sharing the gospel when the opportunity presents itself. And I strongly suggest that you stop letting the devil tell you, "This is not who I am." No, this is exactly who you are. You are God's creation. He created you, designed you for this. All of us for this. So let's just recommit for some of us. And for others of you, you just want to go deeper. You just want to see more. Right? Some of you just want to see more. So let's just lift our hands before the Lord and just surrender. And you tell Him what it is you want. You know right now, this moment, what you need to talk to God about. Because His presence is here right now. Because divine truth has been broadcasted. And that truth has been also taught. So let the revelation of what you've heard and the truth that you've heard begin to impact your life right here, this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that you're hearing every word from every person. God, there are words of repentance. There are words of commitment. There are words, God, of great desire that they have to see you move in their life in a new way, in a fresh way. God, for all those who are watching online today, who said they would be watching as they are gone, and there are many. Father, right where they're at, many of them are in situations or they're riding in the car listening or watching and can't come to the altar right now. God, I thank you. You've already prepared an altar right in their vehicle. And Lord, that you are moving sovereignly through your church today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You may go back to your seats.